threat assessments. Before we begin into this, I know Terry pointed out a great point. We're here to fellowship with each other and just to get to know each other, encourage each other. So I want to begin with a light note to thank a couple people here with my dad, Bruce. I want to thank him and my T.O. Bob and Charlie. And my older brother, Terry. I'm the youngest for this opportunity to be here. I know I'll pay for that later, but really, you know, to walk and after these men of God have taught me a lot, encouraged me, and hopefully they are encouraging you also, and we encourage each other. So they've given me the text of physical threat, but let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we again thank you for, first of all, giving us this another day, another breath to worship, to glorify you, to serve you. So I pray, Lord, as we begin this session, that you open our hearts and our minds to receive the word that you have for us, the encouragement, the guidance, the wisdom. But not only receive, but help us to apply the things that you've opened to us today. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I begin, I know lunch is coming up, and Robledo, however you say his name, I don't know how to say the Spanish names. You know, we were reading the music, and he was telling us what they meant. I was like, you know, dude, if you didn't say anything, I wouldn't have known the difference. But he took up a couple of minutes of my time, so if you're late for lunch, it's two or more's fault. So threat assessments. You know, Bruce began saying, you know, I don't want to get into politics. I'm glad he didn't, because I'm going to tell you who you should vote for and why. No. I really, as I began studying, I was like, what did we talk about? What was the whole purpose of this? And I began to go off. And you know, if you watch TV, you get sucked into it, right? You begin to grumble and complain. Have you guys sat and talked to the television and the politicians? And have you noticed they don't listen to you there either? And I began to pray about it. So what is the physical assessment for Christians? Are Christians under attack in America? I'm going to read to you a quote from an article from Christianity.com. It speaks about how Christians are under attack. It says, there's a great deal in the news lately. Much of it is fueled by the current political cycle about contraception, about religious freedom. What is happening in America is an increasing hostility and intolerance toward Christian beliefs. Have you guys noticed that? Now, in America, we've had this freedom. He says, but now we see that we're beginning to experience this intolerance towards us. Religious freedom is being attacked. In the Christian culture today, you're free to be a Christian as long as you don't live out your faith. Of course, we're beginning to see that, aren't we? If you don't vote your faith, if you don't take a stand in your relation to your faith, or believe others should embrace your faith. In other words, what is this article is saying, what people are saying today is, you can be a Christian as long as it's private. Keep it to yourself. So what we see now is privatized Christianity. What also means to us as believers is compromise. Because the commandment Jesus gave all of us is go into all the world, tell them the truth, the good news. And as a believer, that's something that we shouldn't be able to contain. That's the excitement. When I think about what Christ did for me, where he found me and where he brought me and where he wants to take me, that news is uncontainable. A couple more news facts. As Jonah Goldberg noted in USA Today, he says, the opposition to many Christian values has become, if you're not with us, then you're against us. Basically, what's going to happen, and Bruce touched on it, is that there's going to come a time, and I think it's already beginning to happen, is choose between what God tells us to do and what the government says. So knowing that this is going to happen, we need to be prepared. I mean, we struggle, many Christians struggle today to be a Christian in America. And why is that? Because they'll make fun of me. They'll call me one of those Jesus freaks. I used to say that so much, one lady made a hat that said Jesus freak. I love to wear that at Walmart. I'm a Jesus freak. Now, are Christians under attack in America? I forgot you got a mic over here. I can't walk around. Well, compared to the world, as we look at Christians being attacked around the world, the answer would be no. Christians around the world are being physically attacked, put to death. Such places as Nigeria, Iran, Pakistan, Egypt, Syria, Iraq, all over the world. They're not worried about being made fun of. They're worried about, am I going to be put to death for what I believe? And I truly believe that that time is coming soon for us. Are we ready? Are we prepared? One last news thing. I had so many, and I found out that we only could teach 30 minutes, so I had to cut down half my teaching. The U.S. State Department released its annual International Religious Liberty Report, and the findings show that Christianity is being targeted around the world. I mean, I can go over more of these, and you can see the persecutions in China and all over the world, but we all are aware of this, aren't we? So the question comes to me and to you, and it should come to your mind, is how are we as Christians to respond to these physical threats? You know, if I had spent a little more time, I was going to go get some BDUs and strap on a sidearm and come with my food prepared and saying, you know, this is the way to do it, right? But how are we as Christians to prepare for this threat? First, we must be reminded that Jesus said these things would happen. Did he not warn us about these things? If you want to turn with me to Matthew chapter 24, we'll look at verses 3 through 14. Matthew 24, verse 3. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen and what will be the sign of your coming and at the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah. I will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. And all these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Yes, as genuine Christians, we must know and understand that's our lot in life. That persecution will come. He says, Jesus said, if you follow me, he's our master, our Lord. If they treated him bad, how do you think they're going to treat us? We're going to be persecuted. We're going to be shunned by the world. But those Christians, there's Christians today, I say Christians, as Bruce pointed out, that they are loved by the world. They are, I would say, the devil's children. Those that proclaim to be Christians, but they're doing it for their own profit. And the people love them. I could think of a few names, and, you know, to be politically correct, we shouldn't mention names, right? But I won't today. Maybe. As I think about some churches that are drawing people in because they're not using the Word of God. They're not reading it because, you know, if you read the Word of God, it offends. But it should. That's the purpose. That the Word of God is to point out to begin with that you are a sinner. Why would you repent if you didn't know you were a sinner? Would you ever apologize to someone if you didn't believe you were wrong? I'm sorry for that, but I didn't really do it. I mean, that never happens, does it? And Jesus also told us that in the last days, betrayals would happen. Betrayals of the most intimate relationships. Within families, within brothers, with sisters, with fathers and sons. You're going to see all these things happen. These are the warnings. And then Matthew chapter 24, verse 10, which I'll just read to you. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. Are you guys prepared for that? Paul also spoke of these dark days. He, in his letter to young Timothy, you remember Paul had left Timothy in Ephesus. And he wrote these two letters to encourage him because he knew what he was dealing with. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves. Now listen to verse 2. This is one you've got to read over and over, and you can see it today. But one thing I want you to know, this is just the beginning. It says, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but not denying its power. And from such people turn away. Do you guys see that today? That is the world we're living in. He said, in the last days, perilous times will come. The word translated perilous has the idea of troubles, difficulties, stressful situations. As believers, we're going to face many stressful situations. This is the atmosphere of the last days. Again, we know the last days, as Paul described, beginning from the beginning of the church till now. We're in the church age. We're in the last days, and we're coming to the last of the last days when Jesus is soon returning. So he describes, here's one point I want you guys to listen to when Paul's talking about the last days. He says, Paul does not speak just of bad times, but of bad people. Let me give you a quote from Calvin. He says, We should know what the hardness or danger of this time is when in Paul's view. Here's what Paul thought of when he looked at the times, speaking of perilous times. He says, the danger is not of war, not of famine or diseases, nor of any calamities or ills that befall the body, but the wicked and depraved ways of men. So we look at all these disasters, all these things going on, but look at the depravity of man. How has gotten to where it is? I'm so amazed at, and with my girls, I have two daughters, 17 and 11. I'm afraid to let them out of my sight. In my days, my parents was like, okay, come back before dark. It's got so wicked. And then even, not to get off sidetrack, but kids have to worry about their own parents abusing them. How about this? Your parent not allowing you to come into this world because you're inconvenient. So now we understand that there are difficult times ahead of us. Now that I've brought you down to bum you out, right? So how should we prepare for them? Knowing the days are going to be dark and wicked, how should we prepare for these days? Well, I want to begin with what not to do. What shouldn't we do? This is what amazed me as I was listening to Pastor Bruce teach, that he mentioned some of the very same things that I'm going to speak about, how God intertwines all these teachings. He says, do not worry. You guys ever watch the news and begin to worry? Things are coming. Things are getting bad. One day soon we'll be in church building and we won't have air conditioning. I mean, it's going to get bad. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. I want to read the whole context. Verse 33 is our main verse. But Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. And the main verse of today, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You guys ever worry enough to change anything? Like, if I just worry a little bit more, it's going to change the circumstance. The only thing it's going to change is probably give you a heart attack, which will change a lot of things. Jesus told us to stop worrying. We can be overcomers of worry. He says, how do we overcome worry? He says, be preoccupied with seeking and doing God's will. If you're so preoccupied with God's will, seeking to know what it is and doing it, that will make you victorious over worry. So if you're a worrier, if you're a worrywart, then you're probably not a warrior for God. You're so focused on what the world is saying is going to happen. Jesus didn't just tell us, stop worrying. Don't you like when people tell you, just stop doing it? Well, like it's that easy. He told us to replace worry with the concern of the kingdom of God. To replace one passion for another. A passion for Christ and the things of God's kingdom. And then next thing you know, as you're focused so much on the passion of serving God and doing his will, worry won't even come into the picture. You won't have room for worry. So this brings us to what I want to look at today is the five steps of preparation for victory in our present and future trials. I want to look at five things briefly that we need to do to be prepared. To be prepared today. Every day we face trials and difficulties, don't we? So how do we become victorious and overcomers? Step number one, and most of you already have taken this step, but there's some here that have not, is knowing God. To be victorious, you need to know God. Even though most Americans can see the dark clouds coming. I remember when I used to work a regular job outside the church that the people I worked with could see the signs. And once they discovered that I was a pastor, you know, I was an undercover brother for a long time, and when they discovered what I was doing, they began to ask me questions. They themselves can see what was going on. But as Christians, we can see what's coming on the horizon. But very few of us are making preparation. Are you preparing yourself to meet God? And what I mean by that, it's time for us to repent. God can only be known through Jesus Christ. There's so many religions. You know, religion really can suck up your life. It can take up all your time. And the end result is the same as every other religion. You're where you started. Nowhere. Separated from God. Knowing and fearing death. Now, I'm not excited about dying, you know, but I know what's going to happen after death. Paul said to leave this world is to be present with the Lord. Jesus died so that we could be forgiven. Now, this is going to speak to believers and non-believers. Those of you here that know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he died so you could be forgiven, but also he died so that you can come into that relationship with our Heavenly Father. So many of us miss that part. We're so excited. I mean, you should be excited that Jesus came to die and you're forgiven. But it doesn't end there. He says, I got so much more for you. More of me. And those here today that don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know. You can hear all the religious talk and read all the religious things, but God created you. God created each and every one of us with a longing to know him. And we know that we're separated from him. So do you know God this morning? I'm going to give you a few basic steps. I mean, there's no set pattern. But at the end, I want to give you opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Realize that you're a sinner. Recognize that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross. Repent of your sins. Receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. And as I continue, I want you to be thinking about that. I want you to be praying on that. And believers here, you know, there's some people here, that some men, I should say, that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Be praying for them. That the Holy Spirit speaks to their heart and their heart is open. Today could be the day that their lives are changed for eternity. This brings us to step number two. Walk with God. This is where many of us falter. We need to learn how to walk with God in our daily lives, not just on Sundays. Let me give you a couple examples. He said, Abraham walked with God and was called a friend of God. Wouldn't you like to hear that? God says, you're a friend of mine. Dwayne's a friend of mine. Walk with God like Moses walked with God in the desert. You know, we're in the desert, aren't we? We can all relate to that. He brought me from the lush green hills of Ohio, where it's cold, to the brown desert, to cause me to walk with him. And we think about Moses when he walked with God. When the time fell upon Egypt, Moses was the one who led his people to freedom. We need to walk with God as David walked with God. When times of crisis came, David was prepared, wasn't he? Daniel, that's funny that you mentioned it. Daniel and his three young companions, where they were trying to force them to worship any other God but God, the true and living God, and they would not do it. But they were prepared. And why were they prepared? If someone said, you know what, if you don't reject Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, we're going to put you to death. What would you do? We're going to throw you in the fiery furnace. Are you prepared to say, no, I will only bow to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, no one else? That's why, and the only reason why they could do this, because they walk daily. I think what we need to be reminded is a daily walk, not just a Sunday walk. You know, I'm going to walk with God here on Sunday. I haven't seen him all week. That's not the way it works, is it? It's a relationship. How many of you guys of men have friends that they only call you when they need something? We normally don't call them friends, do we? So to be a friend of God, you need to be seeking him every day, every moment of your life. What does it mean to walk with God? What happens when you walk with someone? Imagine walking down a dirt road with a close friend, enjoying a walk. You walk together very closely. You laugh, you talk. You remember conversations with friends, with men you've walked with, joke with. Some laugh way too loud, just so you know. There we go. Your attention is focused on that person exclusively. Everything else is aside. And this is what it means to walk with God, is that you're walking in harmony with him. Your focus is completely on him. Okay, I'm reading the Word of God. Not to knock any of this, but I got the football game on, God. We can share this together. That's pretty bogus. Yeah, hey, don't worry. We know who's going to win, don't we, God? We're like, open the Bible. This time is for you. How about most of us, we put God to the end of the day. You know what? I don't have time, God, but we'll get together in the evening. You guys ever do that? You finally get downtime. You know when the downtime is? You finally get into bed. You put your head on the pillow and say, God, this is your time. And you know what God hears? Oh, thank you for that precious time you've given me. We need to know God. We need to hear his voice. We need to share our hearts with him, to a point where he becomes everything to us. Is God everything to you? If not, then it's a religion. Because when you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you come to that relationship with our Heavenly Father, he becomes everything to you. He's above our families, our wives, our children, everything. We put him first, everything else will come. A.W. Tozer states that the goal of every Christian should be to live in the state of unbroken worship. This is only possible when we walk with God in the garden. Before we get to step three, when I think about walking with God, I always go back to the garden where Adam and Eve were walking with God. I just have that beautiful picture. I'm looking forward to that day that we physically actually get to do that. But you can do it every day. God wants you to wake up in the morning and says, hey, let's go for a walk. Like this morning, I said, God, it's kind of cold. Well, don't go outside. Go to the warm room and say, you know, let's sit around the fire. Let's talk. Give God the first fruits of your time. That brings us to step number three. Read and apply Scripture. I went all the way back to a quote from Billy Graham in 1957. He was in New York, had this great, you know, I didn't read all into the history of it, but something bad was going on. He's there, and they're hoping that Billy Graham can bring a message to encourage them. He told us that in his sermon, he said, we should fortify ourselves with the Word of God. Begin reading, studying, memorizing the Scriptures as never before. And I thought about that, reading, memorizing, and I'm like, I got a bad memory. But what happens when you don't have the internet? I mean, what's going to happen when I don't have Google? I'm going to have to open up, what is those paper Bibles? Yeah, like these guys had. I'm going to have to pull those out and I'm not going to be able to find anything, right? We need to have the Word of God written on our hearts. Not just for the difficult times coming, but the times we have now. He says the Holy Spirit will bring back to remembrance. He's going to give you the words to say, but if you never read it, how is he going to remind you? So we need to be in the Word of God. The Bible says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth. Ephesians 6:14. The truth is the Word of God. Everything out there, apart from the Bible, is not the truth. I know God gives great commentaries, but I'm talking about you get all these other books. No one has ever been able to prove the Word of God wrong. Those that have strived to do so have become believers. We're to assimilate, we're to feed on the Word of God. We're to allow the Word of God to be our staff and our strength. It is quick and it's powerful. They were just singing about that. The Word of God is quick and it is powerful. It is a shield of our soul. You ever feel defenseless as a believer? How is the enemy coming in? How is he able to come in and attack us? Your shield's not up. You're not in the Word of God. Unfortunately, even many of us as Christians look at the Word of God, the Bible, as a reference, not as the Word of God. We don't relish the Word of God. Go to some of these third world countries. They don't have the Word of God. Read the book of Acts, and you'll see how they would pass these letters on. If they could just have one page of the Word of God, they would read it, they would memorize it, because then it would be passed on. What are we going to do when it's taken away from us? Let me back up a little bit. We need to be in it regardless about the future, right now. You want your life changed by God? He's given us his word. And here's what I like to say in Las Cruces. How many of you guys would love to hear God's voice? You guys love to hear God's voice? And God's saying, you can hear it every day, anytime you want. Open my, this is his voice, the Bible. It's not just a book. It's him speaking. And we all know that, because you ever read a scripture and thinking, man, I've read it 100 times. And when you're in this situation, it's like, it speaks straight to my heart. This is exactly what I want to hear, because it's God's voice, not just a piece of paper. Step number four. We must pray always. As Paul said it, pray without ceasing. I like to make a joke. I'm driving down the road, and you don't have to close your eyes when you're praying. So your excuse is like, well, I'm driving, I can't. No, don't close your eyes, please. You know, I'm not very politically correct, so I'm going to say what I was thinking is, in El Paso, I think some of you guys do pray with your eyes closed as you're driving, huh? Fortify yourself with prayer. The Bible refers to evil days, saying, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, Ephesians chapter 6. I encourage you guys, go read and study. Dig into Ephesians 6. I mean, dig in the whole Word of God, but we're talking about armor, being prepared for the evil days. God has given us everything to be victorious. We need to stop walking around every day as defeated when we're already victorious. God says, you're victorious, you just don't act like it because you don't believe it. Prayer is not about getting things from God. It's about aligning your will with Him. Lord, if I just pray one more time, I'm going to get that boat. Do you know if I had a bass boat, speed boat, one of those big ones, fast ones, you can imagine how quickly I could tell people about God? I know I got this little cheap, no, I don't even have a boat. If you have the little tiny 75 horsepower motor, I had to be very specific with God. It's got to be a fast one because we want the word to get there quickly. I tell you what, if you had that big bass boat and all the gear to go with it, we would never see you on Sunday. And you would tell nobody about Jesus Christ. You'd be talking about fish. If, as believers, as Christianity is to survive this world, the world is filled with materialistic things. And the church, as we look at the church today, the church is getting, you can't tell the difference, can you? It looks so much like the world. Let's entertain you guys. If you don't leave entertained with the music. Now, these guys are awesome. Really lift you up in worship. But some, they come and they bring in musicians that don't know Jesus Christ. I mean, I don't want someone lead me in worship to my God that doesn't know Him. It's kind of like saying someone showing love to like my father, Bruce, but they don't know him personally. How are they going to be able to do that? Unless you really know someone, you can't share that same kind of love, can you? As men, now he's not really my dad, just so you know. There's my dad. As men, we must listen to this real closely. This is a key for every one of us. As men, we must repent of prayerlessness. I mean, people come on Sundays and Wednesdays, have a prayer meeting. I'm going to have one this Sunday. What time's the Super Bowl start? Have right, no one will be there. But just think about in a regular time when you don't have anything to do. That is the most empty time in the church. It's prayer. Prayer is that connection that we have as individuals to God and as we come together as a family to hear God's will and His direction. We're like, yeah, we're Christians. God has established us as this church here, and it's His church, but we don't ask Him how He wants us to run this church. So the prayer meeting, I encourage you as you attend your different churches, if they have prayer meetings, you need to be there. Men, you need to lead. How do we lead our families? We need to lead them in prayer. If you don't like what's going on in your home, first begin by looking at your walk with the Lord. I don't like the way she disrespects me. I'm not going to show her love. And there's this book I thought of, Love and Respect. I'm not going to love her till she respects me. God says, you know, you put me first, the kingdom of God first, and all these things will follow. So again, look at yourself. It's so easy to blame others. Step five, final step, meditate on Christ. We must fortify ourselves by meditating upon the person of Christ. Charles Spurgeon said this. He says, there have never been 15 minutes in my life when I did not sense the presence of Christ. That kind of hurts. I haven't sensed His presence more than 15 minutes. Well, I haven't talked to Him for weeks because nothing is going wrong. God blesses us with many things. We only seem to go to Him when things are going wrong. So we need to meditate on Him. Don't go a moment. That's what's amazing about the church today is when Jesus died, we can go before God's throne all the time, every moment. We must say with David, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your heart, in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer, Psalm 19. So as I conclude, where do you find yourself this morning? And here's one I never know how it's done here, but the question as I asked you before, do you know God? None of these other steps matter to you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, forget the rest of the steps because you can't obtain those. You can't take those steps. So maybe some of you are here, you've been invited. Or maybe you've been coming to church regularly, but you still don't know him. So at this moment, I want to give you the opportunity to take the step of faith. So I want to ask you, if you don't know Jesus Christ this morning, I want you to come up here. We have plenty of pastors, plenty of Christians to pray for you to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I want to give you a few moments. Anyone here at all that doesn't know Jesus, you're not here by accident. You didn't crawl out of bed 6 or 7 o'clock this morning just because, you know, they have fresh donuts. Because God is calling you here this morning. Anyone here at all? If that's you, come on up. Anyone here that doesn't know Jesus Christ? I don't know if I made it clear. If you don't know Jesus Christ, and I would ask you pastors, when you see them come up, to come up and pray with them. Anybody else here that doesn't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Check this out. This is step number one. This young man, his life is going to change from this moment forward. If Pastor Bob or Charlie can come up and pray with him. You know, many times I rush through this, you know, okay, well, no one's going to come up. It doesn't matter to me. I mean, in a sense, it's not my job. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to you, not me. So there's more people here. It's God speaking to your heart. He's saying, you can't take step two because you don't even know me. So a few more moments. Realize that you're a sinner. I'm just going to allow the pastors to pray with them. Basically, it begins with realizing that you're a sinner. Recognize Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Repent of your sins and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And the Holy Spirit comes in you, changes your life forever. Now, come to the rest of you guys. Are you walking with God today? Look at the church today. Let's just look at ourselves. Are you walking with God? Are you preoccupied with God today, every moment of your life? Have you found that work, have you found that all these things have distracted you? Is God your passion? How about this? Is God your everything? If he is not, then I want you to come up. I want the pastors to come up here to pray with you. Lord, I want you to be my everything. Everything else that I put before you, that needs to change at this moment and from this day forward. Now, when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's not the last time you should come up here. It's like, oh, I've already done that. We're not asking you to come up just so we can say, oh, I had these people come up. We want you to come up here so we can pray, come alongside you, to encourage you. So I want to give you a few more moments as the music. Are they coming back up? No, we're going to end. So I want to give you a few more moments. If you guys need prayer, I want all the pastors to come up if you wish, and we want to pray with you. So we're going to end as Terry comes up. Think about this. Is God your everything? And if he's not, then you need prayer.